I'm done. So I have the ladies in here right now, and I kind of, this is, you're kind of getting the band back together.
Yeah.
Huh?
Mr. Steve Bertrand.
Now, he's asleep right now.
Yeah, that's okay.
When we're done.
This is during your show.
Right, he taped the news, and what he asked me to do is to go up, wake him.
Oh, okay.
Right. Why isn't that working over there? Hold on, try that.
So who's asleep?
Who, oh, he's awake now. He's awake.
Hi, Steve.
Man. What's up, babes?
Hey, Steve. We're so glad you're here.
My very own, nice.
Very own Glimmer twins.
Yes.
In their walkers.
Be careful, girls. It's icy outside.
Yeah. There's that one spot.
But not right there. The guy. It is the cleanest spot. There's going to be a guy out for an entire show shoveling right there. So
he's been there since about four in the morning. He's got that little John Deere tractor.
Yeah, they're doing a fine job. Right there, it looks fabulous.
One of those. Did the squirrels really eat your new lights? The wires
Can I tell you something?
Lights?
Can I well, they ate my lights before, which we had to replace.
Ones.
And we just got the bill. And so what we're doing until Christmas, I've got the Manfredini kids doing a hot cocoa stand out in front
to try and pay for the lights.
But it looks fabulous. Oh, my gosh.
It does,
and
yeah.
So now what I'm going to do is for my 12-year-old, I'm going to buy him a BB gun, and I'm going to have him sit out there. And every time
shoot
a squirrel
his eye
comes.
Out.
Right. Every time they come.
Try Critter Ritter. Do you ever use Critter Ritter? Don't you have it in your store?
Yeah.
No, really? Yeah. Oh, man.
These are the ones. Out in the country,
these are the
they're
ones
stupid.
With guns.
Yeah. Out in the country, they're stupid. Yeah, that looks
urban
good.
Squirrel.
You know, in the city, they're too smart. They're like, I don't fall for that stuff.
I know that.
I listen to Coach Ditka. That's what they say around here.
All right.
Ladies, have a lovely show. And
by
the way, next week when you come, we're having a little holiday party. So when you come in here, there will be food and drink and merriment.
Excellent. Well, Judy so, will be in Arizona.
So. Oh, all right. Well,
but I'll have some food and drink in your honor.
Please do. Have
I'll
a wonderful show. Thanks
okay.
so much for listening.
All right, Lou, thanks. We're live. We're local. We're Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago.
Now we've got our third girlfriend here.
Hi, Steve. Welcome back.
Oh, it's good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you here. Thanks to Bob Kessler for his yeoman service until we could get you back in your old seat and
to annoy us.
You do have kind of an old seat now, don't you?
I do.
You?
It's sagging. It used to be much tighter.
Are your jeans falling off?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Well, it's good to have you back, and certainly from the response on Facebook and webpage and everything.
And Robert Feeder wrote about you.
We are not the only ones.
Right. I mean, really, I have to say, you know, in all seriousness, at 3 o'clock in the morning, that's what I was thinking. Oh, it's good to be back with them.
I was going to ask you if it was worth it, but that was quite obviously answered in your response.
Emma had a basketball game last night, so I'm asleep, a freak, and
I didn't
get much.
Do you still have a daughter?
I do.
Do you still have a son?
I have a son who's a week away from a driver's license.
Wow, and you're still with Sharon.
Sharon's still with me.
Okay.
Who's giving him the lessons, Sharon or you?
Oh, Sharon. He's only driven a few times with me.
Well, this is not a good day to be teaching somebody to drive.
Actually, it is.
Why?
Because sometimes you have to drive in snow.
Okay.
It's not my kid. What do I care?
I took my driving exam in a ice storm like this.
And passed?
Because, damn it, it was my birthday.
That's right. I'm
so
16.
Determined.
Right.
Yeah.
It'd be unlikely that any 16-year-old could be deterred by a few simple snowflakes.
You know what? They don't care as much anymore.
About what?
Getting their driver's license right away at all.
Why
really?
Is that?
Why is
oh, because they don't want people to lean on them?
No, really, why is that?
I think it's really dropped off as far as importance. I mean, maybe it's because we're all helicopters as parents and we drive them everywhere. But it's not unusual at all. In fact, one of Noah's best friends, he just turned 16, and I don't think he's even taken driver's ed yet.
It's also more of a process now. You have to get 50 hours behind the wheel.
I think it's 100.
We didn't have to prove
100.
100.
I think so.
And they don't offer it at many schools. You have to go
do the
to an outside
and put
source.
Down the box.
Yep.
Yeah. So 100 hours signed for and signed, sealed, and delivered. That's much more complicated than it was when we did.
And expensive.
All we had to learn was how to crank the thing to start it, and then you just drove.
Right.
You know, wasn't a problem.
You had to detach the horse first.
That's right.
Which way to the drive-in?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, kids don't have drive-ins today.
I'm surprised about that because those were, you know, cars were like the portable makeout area that everybody could go to.
Right. Yeah. Well, they don't have to hide anymore. They just do that everywhere. So cars, again, aren't
not
needed.
A deal. Yeah.
We drive them and then we watch them make out.
Absolutely.
And then we turn to each other and we say, remember when we used to do that?
No.
Make out?
Yeah.
I think.
Which brings us to the topic.
Of the first kiss. We were promoing that.
Which nowadays is probably the first time they had sex. It seems like they get to sex faster this nowadays.
Yeah, but you better get your kissing down before you get the other. Oh, dear. That would. Well, anyway, yes. I think they still kiss, though I know Steve's children wouldn't discuss that with him because who would discuss that with him?
Your parents, right.
Right. But the reason it came up was this, there was a story that I read about a couple who refound each other in their 70s and said, he was the one who gave me my first kiss and I'll never forget it. And I thought, none of us ever forget our first kiss. So we would...
Real one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
Not spin the bottle whatever. They don't play anymore.
Your first I like you, let's kiss.
Mine was the back of a brown sweater in the third grade.
You just went up and kissed her sweater?
Yeah. From behind.
Smooth as ever, I guess that's when it all began.
I'm not sure she knew.
Must have set up some nice low just standards for you.
Fibers in your mouth. And No, real one, Steve. Real one.
I think everyone remembers the name, too.
Steve?
Brownie. No, I don't.
It was a
I don't.
Dog?
No. Oh. The sweater. No, I don't remember my first
Well, I remember kiss. Mine, and Kathy remembers hers. And should we take a little break so some people can call in?
And tell us theirs.
And the name. It's always funny to hear the names.
Yes.
Because I think you pretty much remember.
Like Lionel. Right.
Was that yours?
No.
Mine of course, was.
No, guess what the name was on mine?
Sam.
No, I actually took a page from your book.
Tom.
Yep.
Can I just say, now that you say that, the girl in the brown sweater whose back I kissed?
Her name was Tom?
Sharon.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. I just realized that.
Being Jewish, of course, mine's name was Barry.
312-981-7200. Who was your first kiss? Do you still remember their name?
And how'd it go?
Have you looked them up on Facebook? What's the deal?
This is Kathy and Judy. Our number is 312-981-7200. And we're talking about your memory of your first kiss.
I want to hear yours with Barry.
Okay.
Barry Feinberg.
Fink.
I was close. Barry Fink.
Barry Fink.
And the location was?
In front of my door as he brought me home.
Mm-hmm. From?
I have no idea. Probably a movie.
Okay.
And he was a great tennis player, and he had a great smile, but he just swallowed my throat when he kissed
me. On your first kiss?
It was, I mean, he really almost set off, I had to go to the emergency room for a gag reflex. It was horrible.
Oh.
And he must have known I hated it, because he didn't ask me out again. And I'm fun.
It's so funny that you assumed that he thought you didn't like it, so he didn't ask you out again, rather than I must have been a terrible kisser, so he didn't ask me out again.
I don't go in that direction anymore. It's waste.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Thank you, Steve. Okay. My first was, I think I was 16. I think I had gotten to 16. And Tom Lanz, whom I still stay in touch with, and it was on Corky Slavin's side porch. I was staying overnight at Corky's. And I can't even remember what the event. It might have been prom, might have been something else. But Tom was about 8'6". And I was my size.
But you were sitting.
We were standing.
Oh,
dear. We were standing. And it was just a very sweet, chaste. You know, there was no throat or tongue or anything involved. It was our first kiss, my first kiss. I don't know how much experience he had. And I just remember afterwards just going into Corky's house and thinking, oh, my God, I've been kissed. Oh, my God, I've been kissed.
Do I look different?
I know. Exactly. And I sent Tom an email, a message this week, and said, your name might come up this weekend because we're talking about first kiss. And he remembered, apparently, when he stepped off Corky's side porch, he fell in the bushes. And I wasn't.
Well, you must have been a good kisser.
I hadn't been privy to that. So anyway, yeah, I remember it. I'm glad I remember it. That was nice. That was a long damn time ago. Over
right.
50 years ago.
Well, we should talk to some of our girlfriends.
Like Betty. Hi,
hey,
Betty.
Hey, Betty.
Good morning.
Hi.
Let's hear your first kiss.
Yeah, I so remember this. I was 15. He was 18. And he was my summer love. He was from Escanaba, Michigan, John Bergerson. And we were coming home from the show. I think it was the Irving Park Theater in Irving, Pulaski, and went to the Buffalo Ice Cream stop.
Right.
And then we were walking home, and he said, I want to kiss you 5 times. And it, 1, because you're cute, 2, because you're whatever, and 3, because you're nice.
Oh, he had it down.
Yeah, he had it down. And then it was like on the way home was, where can I kiss you? Meaning where in the around the house. And I thought, okay, the apple tree in my backyard. So I was actually terrified going into this because it was the first time. And he was very nice, but it was like the first time, the first kiss was like, I just so remember, you know, how it felt. And I was counting down from that point on. I was like 5 more, 4 more, 3 more, because I wanted to get it over with. And but it was sweet. And then he left, and we corresponded after that. But then the whole time I'm thinking, how could I have done that better? You know,
God, we just beat ourselves.
So didn't you start practicing on a mirror or a pillow?
Yes, and I started practicing
on real
people. And
oh, real people.
So the next time he visited, I was much better at it. But it was sweet, but I still remember it. Yeah, John Bergerson from Escanaba, Michigan.
Betty,
John, if you're listening now. A salute to you.
Yes. And this is Kim. Hi, Kim.
Hi, girls. I'm so happy you're back.
Thank you. We are, too. First kiss story.
First kiss, Vandhurst Shopping Center. 1,000 years ago, this boy we grew up with, who I always had a crush on, and he got me in a photo booth for 20 cents. Yeah. And he did 3 very lovely, like he's my brother, you know,
pictures.
Photographs.
Right.
And then, right. And the last one, he nailed me, missed half of my mouth and got the other half. And I was so shocked. My heart just burst. I was so excited because I loved him from the beginning of time. And he kissed me. And then afterwards, you know, we were holding hands, walking through Randhurst, which was so freaking cool. And I took the pictures and I crushed them up. I heard violins growing in my head.
Oh, sure.
And I threw them out. Oh, my God, I threw them out because the evidence was there. My mother would kill me if I kissed the boy.
Really? Randy Remberg at Randhurst.
Randy, Randy Remberg.
At Randhurst.
And that, yes, but then we made out quite often after that.
Ah.
So,
okay.
So fluttering.
But no photographic evidence of that.
No, I threw it out. I thought I was going to get grounded.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
Mom found out anyway. I told her.
Very sweet. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
Okay.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Our number's 312-981-7200. We're just talking on this snowy, romantic day about your first kiss and how much of it you remember. This is Patty.
Hi. Turtleneck Patty.
Hi, Turtleneck Patty.
Your first kiss was with?
I grew up in Kenmore, New York, and it was a very highly Jewish populated area, and I'm Irish Catholic. And anyways, his name was Barry Warner.
Barry again.
Of course, right.
Barry.
Yeah. Pardon me?
Barry.
No, she just said Barry.
That's how they, you know, say it.
Yeah. Anyways, they were teaching me that the whole group, we were all out in front of a show, and they were teaching me the circle dance where you, is it the Torah? Is it,
Hava Nagila.
Yeah, Hava Nagila. We were all singing that out front, and I did it right. This little Irish girl did it all right, and Barry Warner gave me a big kiss and walked me home, and I remember that.
Was it a, like, sloppy kiss, a passionate kiss?
It was a very good kiss, and we did date for a while. This was like in 9th grade, and just went to the movies and whatnot. But I'll never forget that. And I did I did think when I was walking home that I would have probably plastered all over my face so my father could see it, that I had been kissed by a Jewish boy.
Really?
Very sweet.
Yeah.
Very sweet. Two berries. Okay. Two berries and a Tom.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you, Patty. And we're Kathy and Judy, and Steve's back. And our number's 312-981-7200. You're listening to 720 WGN. We're talking about your first kiss, chaste or not. And Kristen, our producer, had an interesting idea. We've had some very straight kisses here. I would imagine that the first kiss for someone who has figured out they're gay is huge. I would guess. But, I mean, I know we have plenty of
what
gay and lesbian girlfriends.
Terror and freedom.
Yeah, what heading into that thinking, okay, I think I am. I think I am. You can call us. We would love that. Just want your
extra time and your kissing. First time. Kiss. And we were saying before it would be interesting to know when a person finally came to terms with the fact that, yeah, they were gay, and when they had their first same-sex kiss. And Cindy's as close as we've gotten to that. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. Well, yeah, I'm not the gay one, but the first guy that kissed me ends up that he's gay, but also a sex offender, registered.
Oh, nice. Man. Oh,
I know,
God.
I know.
Was that in high school, in grade school?
It was. It was either 9th or 10th grade. I honestly don't remember. And he was really a good guy, and we were mostly just good friends. We never went together or anything. And
well, why was he kissing you? Or you kissing him?
Well, no, he said, we were in the back seat of his brother's car, and he said, so, you want to kiss? And I said, oh, sure.
Oh, he was smooth, yeah.
Yeah, he was smooth, and he kissed me, and that was the end of it. And now, years later, I found out he's a predator.
Oh,
man. I made quite an impression.
Oh, well, I'm sure you had little to do with it, Cindy. Thank you for the call, and Merry Christmas.
Sure.
Okay.
I wonder if the kid who, David Dubler, was dropped out of school, and he brought chocolate-covered cherries to my porch one time. Mm-hmm. And he always had dirty fingernails, and he was, you know, he was sort of, I don't know. I think I heard that he had become a criminal in Cleveland.
Oh, dear. What a horrible place to be a criminal.
Very good symphony and rock and roll.
With so many other things to
Best
do.
Place to be a criminal.
Besides,
let's see.
Yeah. Is that where the river's on fire?
It
Where was the river on fire?
It was Cleveland.
Okay.
Randy Newman sang a hilarious song about it, but no, it's over.
Okay, it's all fixed up now.
The fire's out.
All right. Our number's 312-981-7200. Just a couple of reminders. Number one, we have had a response to Merry Medical Christmas in terms of people who want it. People who've said, oh, yes, I love Merry Medical Christmas. We had a very interesting conversation in the office this morning because while we have been begging for submissions for the last many weeks, and we received one that was kind of close, but there was no pus in it and there were no discharges in it. So it really wasn't what we were looking for. The deal with Merry Medical Christmas, and it worked for many years, was that there was a long period of time when people would use their annual Christmas letter as a chance to share really inappropriate medical details. Not just Frank has had throat trouble, but Frank has had rectal trouble, and then go on to describe it. We think that Facebook is the culprit here, that people are now using Facebook for what they used to use their annual
medical
holiday letters for.
That people are just very in touch.
Right. And so what we have decided, because there are, we have not received
There's not
any
a radio-worthy
influx. Which sounds like a Merry Medical Christmas, doesn't it?
I know, my
Frank's
ears perked up.
I've had so much rectal influx. Anyway, what we are going to do is take a little trip down Merry Medical Christmas memory lane.
That's quite a mouthful.
Right. And we will sit down and play with some of the excellent selections from years past. And just because, just because it makes us laugh and it makes you laugh. And if you were one of the people who hated it, then we'll just give you warning. We'll just tell you the next 7 minutes are Merry Medical Christmas, so go away. And the rest of us who have always enjoyed these disgusting updates can listen and enjoy them.
It brings out the child in you when you could say poopy diaper to a 2-year-old and the kid would just collapse
in laughter.
That's
what's going on, and we will do that next week because next week is our last show before Christmas. So be sure that you're tuned in next week for that. I have two security-related topics. Number one, I don't even know that I told you this last week because I stayed at your house for 2 nights. Thank you very much.
I love when you stay.
When I was at Nordstrom's doing, or Lord & Taylor doing some Christmas shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Did I tell you this? And I got a phone call and on my...
Give me more clues.
On my, my cell phone. I'm in Lord & Taylor. And I answer the phone and it's the security company. When I moved to Princeton, and I would go out there only on weekends.
You mean for your house where you have your
when I was still alarming, mm-hmm. I had an alarm system installed because I moved there shortly after Spike experienced his house fire. And I was afraid that if my house caught on fire out there, that I would never know it until it was burned down. So I had a security system installed that had a fire detection or whatever. And generally, if I'm going to be gone, when I come in on the weekends, I just said it. And when I came in last week, I set the alarm. I took care of everything. And then I came in. Well, I called my neighbor when I got the call from ADT that the side door had been breached. And I thought, oh my God, somebody actually got into my house. And you're looking at me like you haven't heard the story. And so I called my good neighbor, Maureen, and said, could you run over there and find out what's going on? Because they've called the police. And so Maureen said, okay, I'll go over right away. 30 seconds, 45 seconds later, Maureen calls me. She said, did you forget that you left a key for the Culligan man? And I said, oh, yeah, I couldn't. So the poor Culligan man
set off the alarm,
went to the secret place where I left him the key, and opened the door of my house, and the alarm went off. And I can't imagine how alarming that is.
To the Culligans.
Because I've done that. There have been a couple times when I had the alarm on, and in the morning I forgot and opened the door to feed the outside cat or whatever. And all of a sudden, it is a horrifying noise.
Right.
And I cannot imagine being a burglar and thinking it was a good idea to stay
to continue on.
That was making that noise. So, all right. So that was my first security story. And maybe you as well have stories about alarm systems gone amok.
But it really didn't go amok.
No, it went.
It was working.
Yes, it was working just fine. I'm not sure I'll ever see the Culligan man again.
Talk about soft water. You should
have seen. That's right. He left a little on the dining room floor. Yeah. So the second one
is... this is a very base show.
The second one is...
Thanks, Steve.
I got a call from American Express this week, and apparently somebody had decided to try and use my American Express card to buy many expensive things. And the clue, though, the thing they told me, and I didn't realize this, because when he was asking me about these charges at the Apple store and, you know, at some shopping mall in India or something, when they get your credit card, they'll often start with little charges. He said, how about the November 17th charge for $250 to Google?
Yeah, right. That happened. Same thing happened to us.
Yeah.
And I
said,
was going to bring
it up. I wouldn't charge $250 on my American Express card. And he said, how about this? I mean, I don't check my American Express bill until it comes online. But I just think that's interesting that if you are inclined to check online.
Why do they start small to build up?
Because to see if you're going to notice.
Uh-huh.
To see if you're
going. But I still don't get that, because why wouldn't they just go big and get out?
I don't know. I suppose they figure if you're not paying attention, they're going to, that's just their little
test.
Keep
it going for a while. The same thing happened with us where we looked at it and we were buying sort of magazine subscriptions. That's what happened. We got a magazine or something.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, what's this about? And we found out someone had been doing that to us as well.
Yeah.
Well, and in Kathy's case, because I asked her this, because this one I did hear this morning, they didn't have the card. They had that scan reader where they can read your credit cards if you just walk by a person that's got this.
But they apparently didn't have my code, my security code, because that's what alerted American Express.
Well, why would someone take a card without asking for the security code?
Ask for the security code when they scan it at a restaurant or something, although you could look at it.
They have the card.
I do not know. I am not a criminal, so I do not know how they do these things.
Let's talk to some criminals.
We're talking about security. And this is Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Kathy. This is Dorothy's daughter.
Oh, hi.
Hi. She and my dad lived with me before they both passed, and she went first. And I got him one of those I've fallen and I can't get up things to wear around his neck.
Oh, right.
Well, it has a base unit so that you could, like, hit it.
Right.
Also.
My mom had one of those, too. Right.
Okay. So he had passed in July, and I'm at work one day, and I'm getting a call from the neighbor that the fire department and the police are at my house, and my brother also lives with me, so they were worried about him, but he wasn't home. And so I rushed home, and they'd already gotten into the house. They wouldn't tell me how.
They didn't break down any doors.
Well, if they did, they did a really, really careful job.
Okay.
My brother had just gotten a new kitten, and the kitten had stepped on the base.
So you still kept the base even after your dad died.
You know, I was trying. It was hard to get everything taken care of.
Right.
And I just wasn't taking care of that. And these guys couldn't have been nicer about the whole thing. And even though I'm sort of in law enforcement, they refuse to tell me.
How can you be sort of in law enforcement, Mary?
I'm a prosecutor.
Oh, okay.
Wow, I didn't think she was going there.
I think that's in law enforcement,
yes,
in the center.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's
like
cool.
You're the one that says not guilty. This guy's not guilty. I swear.
No.
She's the one that says we think he is.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I don't watch enough of those shows.
Did you hear Lou Manfredini this morning saying that he felt that half an hour was not enough time for Rod Blagojevich's team to present their appeal?
Right. I did. And I was, you know, I didn't want to call. But, you know, you have to put a limit on lawyers or they'll just talk forever.
And you are one.
And, you know, they do bill.
So
they do bill by the hour.
So you would know.
Yes,
Mary,
I would know.
Mary, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
That's Mary, one of the five daughters of Dorothy. Dorothy, our girlfriend, who used to bring her five daughters to the Kathy and Judy convention.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dorothy died, I think, in January or February of this year. We're Kathy and Judy. Our number's 312-981-7200.
Kathy and Judy back. Our number is 312-981-7200. Kathy had two security issues.
Yes,
and
I did.
The second one was about her Amex card, which somebody scammed and was suddenly in the Apple store.
This is Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, I'm so glad to hear you guys back again.
Thanks, Jerry.
All the time. Oh, it's wonderful. Well, I got a call from my MasterCard, and the gentleman asked me if I had bought this movie, and he named it, and I said, oh, no, it didn't sound familiar. And he said, well, ma'am, it's a porno, porno movie. And I went, no, I don't buy those kind, you know. So when I told my kids about it, they said, Mom, can we borrow it? And I said, No, I didn't buy it. Really and truly, I didn't buy it.
And I was thinking, it was interesting to me because the message, I hadn't been home when it came in on my landline. Your security's been compromised, your credit card, call this number. And I looked on the back of my card, and that was not the number on my card. So I thought, well, what if this is a scam that's going to try and get my number out of me? So I called the customer service number on the back of my card, and it was indeed.
Yep.
It was indeed. But I mean, I think that's another way that they probably scam a lot of people. They say your card's been compromised. Call us at this number. And then they probably ask you to confirm your credit card number. And obviously mine didn't, because they, when you call, they know everything about you, including your underpants size.
And isn't that scary? They know everything about you.
I know.
They just know everything about you. Just got to get used to it now.
The cat's out of the bag.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
But thank you.
All right, Jerry. Merry Christmas to you.
Speaking of thinking you're getting scammed, well, yesterday, you know, I'm desperately trying to learn Spanish, and I've lost a big chunk of my Rosetta Stone. It's been 17 years. I have no idea.
5 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. And yesterday, I figured, well, I can't find my Rosetta Stone stuff, but let me look online. So online, it says free Spanish lessons. I don't know, 600 lessons. Right. So I click on it, and then I find out that it's going to cost $55 an hour. Right. I don't know. But I'd already signed up for you get a word a day. How about that? A word a day. So
wow, for free?
Let me tell you, my first word came in today.
And it was? Casa.
Salmon.
Salmon.
And I say, you get what you pay for. I mean, really. Well, and it said salmon. And then it said, do you know what this means? And I'm thinking, oh, they think I'm going to say salmon, but it must be something like interdictory or something like that. Salmon.
What did it say again?
Salmon.
I like that you do it in a French accent.
Spanish? Do you speak Spanish? How do you say it?
Didn't Sharon borrow the Rosetta Stone program?
Well, that's for about 5 years, so she's been at it for longer than that.
Did she have it? She gave them back to me.
Yeah, we gave it back.
Can she speak Spanish?
Absolutely. She's fluent with that thing. It's masterful. I can't believe it didn't work for you, Judy.
Steve, say that word, my word for the day, with your Spanish accent, hotshot.
Salmon.
Which is highly different than salmon.
Salmon.
Yeah, exactly. I love the translators. I have a friend who is Czech, and she will often post stuff on her Facebook page in Czech, and I have no idea what she's talking about. And Tisa Lasort, who used to be the general, what was she? Program director.
Yeah, program director.
And Tisa lives in Aruba, and I don't know what they...
Dutch.
Tisa Lasort.
Tisa Lasort. And she will often post things in Dutch. And so all you have to do is copy it, go to one of the translation sites, put it in there, and then it'll tell you what they're saying.
Well, I told you what happened to me yesterday. I was leaving a note for the lady who comes to clean our house, and her English is thin. And, you know, in person, you can kind of dance around and point to baseboard.
Right.
Or, you know, right. Okay.
Fantastico.
Right. Oh, the spray or the powder?
Yeah. No, fantastico. Yeah.
So anyway, so I am writing these, you know, can you do this? And on the other side, I used Google Translate. It's putting everything in Spanish.
Excellent.
Now, I don't know if it's like, you know, when you do things word for word, you probably, you know, so it probably says, please wipe down the tires that in every room.
Right, yeah.
You know, right. Who knows baseboard?
The board
in a foreign
on the
language.
Base, right, yeah.
Right. Yeah. But I think these translators are fabulous.
I continue, and I know this just makes me an old geek, but that you can have in your hand the knowledge of the world. Not even on your desktop computer, on a little thing slightly larger than a pack of cigarettes, but flatter. Anything in the world that you want to know.
You can't have the knowledge of the world.
Pardon?
You can't have the knowledge of the world. There's a lot of secret knowledge that isn't findable
online.
Well,
not CIA knowledge, but just knowledge.
Or inside a monastery, there's secrets.
Really?
Don't they have secrets that you have to be a monk to know?
Yeah.
Less and less.
Did I ever tell you that I dated a guy and I was his first date after he came out of the monastery after?
Did he go back?
10 years. He wasn't the best conversationalist in the world.
Oh, did he come from the silent one?
Yeah. It was so.
we made a mandate with Kristen. We gave her a mandate. No Christmas music.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. We know that many of you are very into it, and there are plenty of places you can get that. Go to your Pandora.
Gas station.
Go to your Pandora. Go to an elevator. You know?
I was at a gas station.
I got your Christmas music right here.
That pumps out music as well as gas
right.
while you're there.
Right.
It was Christmas.
Yeah.
At the pump.
Right. So we're giving you a little break from that because it's not our best thing.
We did that last week. The faith thing.
Right.
You know,
well, no. I mean, I just have boxes and boxes of Christmas stuff in the basement from years past, and nobody's there at Christmas. So who's it for?
Well, I don't know. Are you going to give it away?
Probably at some point. You know, or when I fall down the stairs, my kids will include it in the estate sale. Whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Are they the kind of ornaments that you made out of paste?
Some of them. Out of felt. Yeah. Some of the early felt ornaments from the we don't have a penny to call our, you know, we don't have two pennies to rub together days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We haven't put our ornaments on our tree yet.
Do you have a tree yet?
We've had a tree for like 2 weeks.
Well, that must be kind of sad. Do you have the lights on it yet?
We do. It looks good with the lights on it.
Okay, so who notices? Who even notices the ornaments?
Well, I do, Kathy.
Oh, that's right. You're inside.
So
that's
when?
Because from outside.
When are you going to be doing that, Steve? Like it's a nice snowy afternoon.
Well, I'm not going to do it.
12-hour nap. Why?
They should do it.
The other family members. Right.
Do you want the teenagers to be the ones that do it?
Well, I thought they might. Yeah, but they grew out of it. Hasn't caught fire yet. So.
All right, and I just want to share one revelation that was made to me in the last couple minutes. Kristen signed on to the stream for text messages, and you can always text us at 24/7/20. But when you text us, your phone number's on there. So if you send us some horrible text, and some people have, we could always call you up. I didn't know that.
Well, that's fun to do. Do we have some mean ones? Remember when we used to do that and say, well, why don't you like us?
Well, like the person that's in the 630. Oh, my sister's in 630. Please go back into retirement. Give some new and fresh talent a chance. What a waste of air. Oh, it's from Steve's mom. They say, get Steve be his own show from 10 to 12.
Did they really?
Yeah. It says, what a waste of air time. Give Steve be his own show from 10 to 12.
Why do you think I agreed to do this? You two aren't going to live forever.
Oh.
Or even until next week.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we'll be fired before we croak. And we're used to being fired, and we're not used to being croaking. So I think that'll work out just fine.
Somebody else said, Google Chrome puts a bar under your toolbar that says, would you like to translate the entire page? I have Google Chrome. I'll have to check that out.
I have Google Chrome, too, and I don't know why.
Well, you have to have a server. You have to have some place.
But Google has been just fine. Safari. I use Safari because I'm an Apple.
There's too many. It's getting a little complicated because I don't completely understand it all. I mean,
you?
I just know it works. I just know it works. No, I mean, I know how to build I've built some websites and stuff like that.
Yeah, how about that?
But, and I'm not sure if the technical thing is that Google Chrome is a server. A browser. Thank you. That's Engineer Bob knows that's a browser. The server is off somewhere in Utah. That's where they follow all your phone calls and all your emails. So anyway. All right.
Okay.
We've clarified that for you.
Okay. So I read a story. It had a really good headline, and I should have typed that down, but I didn't. So too bad.
Okay.
Anyway, the article was about the fact that men, since the 1960s, aren't doing any more housework than they were before.
I saw that.
They've taken on cooking, and in fact, there's a cachet to it. And men, this is obviously, you know, general. It has nothing to do with Steve, who does everything well at home and has a lot of aprons.
Yeah.
And I think he must be gone.
No, he's
the
there.
Mic. Is he there?
Yeah, why?
Right there. Oh, I don't know. I just thought you would have.
You were saying nice things.
Oh.
Why should he jump in?
Right.
Right. And very involved with the children. But because housework is so unglamorous that it just isn't getting done. It's still in an equal share. Women are doing more of it. And so The secret, the end result of this article was just don't care about it. Just have a dirtier house.
Thank you. That's what I used to tell my husband when we were still married. If you're so damn worried about the baseboards, why don't you clean them?
Okay, that's fair enough.
Here, here.
There you go.
Did you say
baseboards?
Did you say that in Spanish?
No, but I could look it up.
Okay.
How to translate.
I think they're called Zocalos. No, I think they're called Zocalo.
Sharon does a lot more housework, I think, than I do.
Yes.
But I would never say, why don't you do that? Right? There's a big difference.
If somebody's complaining about how something is being done or not being done, then to me, it's not inappropriate to say, well, look, you seem a lot more worried about it than I am. So if you're worried about the baseboards, then let's make that your job. I don't think I was quite that nice about it.
You know, right, because that was a pretty good delivery.
That would have been
and quite unlike how I think you would have
and
ever delivered it.
I might still be married if it weren't for that.
Well, no, there are other things.
Oh, no, I just got the chills. Okay, go ahead, Steve.
And he died.
Yes, well, that.
Which helps in many instances.
For about 10 years, it bothered me that Sharon never cleaned the top of the refrigerator.
Well, she never saw it.
Not in her life, not once.
So yeah. That's what my friend Michael used to say. There are two things that women they're not normally aware of in a home that needs to be cleaned. Number one is the top of the refrigerator, and number two is the underside of the toilet seat. Because when women pee, it splashes. So all you women who live alone,
you just stopped the world
before
there.
You have a party that men are going to
be at. Oh, because a man does the flip up and then he'd see all that.
Right.
Yeah. Oh.
And they don't, you know, the splash just goes on the floor.
Wait a minute. I thought it was the men that made the underside so icky.
Not unless they sit while they're doing it. It's female splash.
Well, if they sit while they're doing it, then...
Then they're doing the same thing a woman is.
Oh, my brain is slowing
down.
But
I know, but those were two things that never occurred to me. And if I had somebody come in and help me clean for a party or something, I'm sure they would go into the bathroom and go, So all you girls, go check the underside of your toilet seats if you live alone.
But not before we pose this question
to
you.
Right, Judy's going to pose this question.
Which is, now, what do you think you're capable of letting go, or what have you already let go? I learned in my retirement... And sorry, lady, I'm still in my retirement. This is just so silly. That I can leave my house without making my bed. And you know,
Judy,
I told you this.
You did not.
Right. And you know what
you used to make beds in hotels.
I would make it if I had to be in the room till 10 o'clock because it was tidier.
Right. Right.
But now, if I'm gone, like I have an 8 o'clock ballet class, there's no way I'm going to be able.
Oh, welcome to the dark side.
And I'm just fine with it. And sometimes I wait until as late as 4 o'clock.
Oh, she's a wild woman.
And then you do it?
And then you make it.
What's the point of that?
I think Tom will think he's married to a sloven person.
He's told me he thought that.
See, who was it that said, it's Joan Rivers or Phyllis Diller or whatever that said, I don't get housework. You do it once, and 6 months later, you got to do it all over again.
Kathy and Judy back. Our number's 312-981-7200. We're talking about learning to care less about how clean your house is. Because it isn't gratifying work, except the minute it's done, and then you don't want anybody in there. I have learned to let my bed go. It is till 4. And Kathy was born knowing.
I'm there.
What to let go.
I'm there. And you've been in my house. My house is not horrible. My car is horrible.
Yes,
it
is.
My house is not horrible. And if I'm having company, you get out the vacuum cleaner, you get out the dust cloth, you clean underneath the toilet seat, unless Steve's coming over, you don't do the top of the refrigerator.
I think it's interesting, though, Judy, that you do it at 4 o'clock.
Your bed at 4 o'clock, yeah.
For Tom, really, because you're not doing it for you, and if he wants the bed made, Kathy would tell him to make it.
Now, you know, I'm gonna ask him if when I'm away, he makes the better knot. Because if he doesn't, then I'm just not going to do it. But meantime, let's talk to Leslie.
Hey, Leslie.
Oh, hello. Hi. It's fun. I kind of learned that whole thing about, like, picking and choosing what your cleaning priorities are. And when I was moving into my apartment, I hate vacuuming. Like, it's the one thing that I'm like, I just hate doing it. I would hire someone to do it. I would date a guy who said, do you like vacuuming?
But, on that alone.
Yeah, it was like, if that's like your selling point on like Match.com, I'm like, put it on there. Yeah. It would totally be something I would trade. But when I was looking at a realtor and they were like, well, what do you want? What don't you want? I was like, number one on my list was an apartment without carpeting. Because I was like, I would way rather sweep and mop my floor once a week than vacuum once a week.
Okay.
I hate vacuuming.
That's Leslie, I have an equipment question for you.
Yes.
Do you have a vacuum cleaner that has a clear canister in it so that you can see what your vacuum cleaner is picking up from the floor?
Well, I'll be honest. I have a hardwood floor, so therefore I only have a dustbuster.
Okay.
But the dustbuster has like a brush thing and a long tube thing for stairs because that's the only place where there's carpet and
right.
to do my couch.
See,
so I don't really have a vacuum like that.
I didn't enjoy vacuuming at all until I got a vacuum cleaner that has a canister in it. So you empty it out and then you put the canister back in and start vacuuming and go, oh my God, it's wonderful. Go ahead.
It's the sound. I hate the sound of a vacuum. If they made a silent vacuum, I might not be.
Oh, you were probably a cat in your previous life. Because many cats don't like the sound of a vacuum. Yeah.
I have a cat, and, you know, that was the other thing. She didn't like the vacuum, and I didn't like having to vacuum every day because.
Every day?
All over the place.
You vacuum every day.
Well, no, because the fur would get all over the place when they were kittens. And
wait a couple days, then you get a nice buildup in the clear canister.
I will say this. I have chores that I really like to do.
What?
And I do those. I love doing my laundry. I won't let anyone else do my laundry.
See, and I love cleaning stainless steel appliances.
Yeah, I think that's the rule is that I got to find a guy. Like, this is a dating thing, but I have to find a guy who likes to do the exact opposite that I like to do.
If he likes to vacuum.
Exactly. We could have a great house. It would be, and we would always have fantastic laundry because I have all the tricks for laundry.
Okay. Do you know yesterday I was washing some whites and it was like my brain drew a big, are whites cold on cold or whites? What do you think whites are?
Hot.
Well.
Rinsed
in. You got to do hot, but are you doing it for stains or are you just doing it because they're dingy?
No.
Oh
tell me the
have
difference.
Dingy whites.
If there's a stain on it, you got to soak it with a little bit of white vinegar before you put it in. But if it's a dingy white and you want to get it kind of brighter, you want to put the vinegar in the last cycle.
I've never known how to do that because you have to stand there and watch.
No, put it in the softener rather than
You don't want to put it in the softener. You got to put it in the last rinse.
No, why can't you put it in the softener container and not use softener?
Because it won't get the soap scum out the way you want it to. That's the main reason why you put it in.
I just got alarmed. I just got very alarmed.
I know,
alarmed.
We're talking about laundry. But, right. But I'm really interested because I have like three white blouses that were really kind of expensive. And they're dinged. There's no question about it. Are you saying if I figure out how to find out when the last rinse click is happening...
Isn't there a light that says final rinse for you?
I know, but you
I
have to
know.
Look. You
I
have
don't
to
know.
Sit there and watch the. You have to
well,
sit there and
I
watch
could,
the
I,
washing machine.
But here's my question: if I put the vinegar in when you said, are they going to look like new?
They look pretty good. I mean, they don't look new because you've been washing them It's the soap scum that makes clothes look dingy.
Okay, Leslie, Kathy's raising her hand and practically peeing in her pants. She wants to ask you something.
Why can't you just put some vinegar and water and put them in the sink and slosh them around?
Oh, I do that with stuff that you don't wash, but I'm talking about like stuff that you need to throw in the washing machine to kind of, like shirts.
You
bras,
really do
underwear,
like your laundry,
like
don't you, Leslie?
I know, and it was like a new world when I found out the vinegar tricks. It was a whole new world opening up to me, and I was like, no one else will let me do my laundry anymore because they always screw it up. it was nuts.
Somewhere out there is a man who's falling in love, Leslie.
I know, but it was like, if you clean my house and I can do your laundry, we will be a match made in heaven. It would be fantastic.
This is a weird conversation.
Yes, it is. Leslie, thanks for the call. We hope Santa brings you a man who likes to vacuum.
Or get a Roomba.
That'd be great.
One of those automatic
Roombas. Yeah, you know how much those cost?
No.
Like about $8,000.
I thought they were $49.99.
Oh, no, I don't think they're, I think they're $500. I was doing a little bit of hyperbole there. Now, real live Steve Bertrand, he is back. He's our news guy now, and
third
ingredient.
Girlfriend.
Yeah,
right.
Our third girlfriend.
But he's changing hats now.
Yes, he is. And Steve Bertrand, as you know, if you go to Steve Bertrand on books, on Facebook, in the world, Steve is a big reader, and he loves to interview authors. And this is yet another one of his interviews on Steve Bertrand on books.
Think back to the people you knew in your childhood, the aunts, the uncles, or family friends. If you're like me, you can picture them in a house dress or in coveralls, but you probably don't know much beyond one or two sentences about them. Their image is fixed. They're static. That's the way it was for author Lee Sandlin. For years, every summer in the 60s, he'd travel from the Chicago area down to a house in Edwardsville, where he'd stay with four relatives, Helen, Hilda, Marty, and Eugene. Sandlin didn't even know who was married to whom, until, as an adult, he decided to fill in the blanks. And what follows is a wonderful memoir called The Distancers, a uniquely Illinois story that you'll likely find is a little bit about your family, too. So let's start with the sisters, Helen and Hilda.
Well, you know, this is one of the things that was true for those days that fortunately is no longer true now, where parents would look at their daughters and say, your job is just to make sure I stay happy as long as I'm alive and you get no life of your own. And both of them, I think, had really, I don't know whether they'd expected it, but they were certainly longing to have adventures of their own. And whenever they started getting close to them, their parents would shut them down. And so they ended up living together in this house. Helen never married. Hilda did marry, and she made a very bad marriage. She married Marty, who was the villain of the whole family history, if you're my relative. No one liked him. But, you know, this is the thing. It would never have occurred to them to say, we don't like you, you're not welcome.
Right.
Because everyone is welcome. I mean, that's hospitality. You have to say, to somebody who's involved with one of your relatives, oh, you're welcome.
So when you were traveling down there from Chicago, yeah, the suburbs, and spending your summers in Edwardsville, which we're talking probably, what, the 60s?
It was in the 60s, yeah.
Did you have any idea that Marty wasn't liked?
I hated him, but I didn't know that I was alone. I wasn't alone in that.
Right.
Yeah, and the thing that was amazing about Marty is that not only did people not like him, but they went on disliking him long, long after he died.
So Marty was this guy who comes into the family sort of hanging out at the
he hung out at the corner store, which was the big meeting place.
Marries Hilda and has the two of them keep a secret for a long time. Yeah. And there's probably no reason to ruin that secret here.
But they did have a secret.
It speaks to the reticence or the endurance, especially of women at that time.
Which is really fascinating how much they endured and how little they complained about it. I mean, they would complain privately. If you really managed to push them, you'd hear something.
Eugene is the brother of Helen and Hilda.
Right.
And maybe the most fascinating of the four.
He did have the most oddly secret, colorful life because he was the only one who left. He left in the 30s. He was on the road. He was a hobo during the Depression years.
He went away then to World War for World
then
War
II. Then he fought in World War II. Yeah.
And came back a damaged man. He probably a damaged man.
He was not in great shape, I don't think, before he left. He was always unnaturally shy, very silent, very, very reluctant to discuss anything that was going on in his head. He never formed any emotional attachments that I can see outside of his family.
So here we have Helen, who swore off marriage once in spite to her mother.
Right.
You have Hilda, who was sort of a wild child in her day.
Right, yeah.
Was shipped off to tend to the grandmother until she came back. Eugene, who was badly damaged, and Marty, who no one liked.
You got it. Yeah, yeah. And yet for us as kids, these were like the most loving and, you know, happiest people. And, you know, there's a lot of unhappiness among my relatives about this book, in part because I said that our four old relatives were unhappy, and they had a lot of trouble believing.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
They were unhappy.
Yeah, yeah. You mean the family?
The four. No, the four.
The four of them.
Yeah.
I don't think that, you know, in those days, you didn't think about happiness as a goal.
Four people who spent so many years of their lives together, the siblings certainly all their lives together. And yet it seems as if they might have never had an intimate conversation with each other.
I don't think they did. Yeah. You know, it's one of these things where one or two words reluctantly choked out, in emotional desperation. That counted like the most disclosing they could ever get.
I'm glad you did talk. And I think I found some of my own relatives living in Bosch's house and around Edwardsville. I mean, I think there is a lot that we can all take from this.
It does seem to, as I say, the more particular I made it, the more other people told me it was like their family.
Lee Sandlin, it was nice to talk to you.
Yeah, it was great talking to you.
I'm Steve Bertrand. This is Steve Bertrand on Books.
Thank you, Steve. That so reminds me of, I am often shocked at how people will not say to people who are close to them what's really going on in their heads. I mean, so often people will say, oh, I couldn't say that to him. And the him is the husband. This is the person that you are most intimate with in your life. And you can't tell them that you're upset or you're angry or whatever. I had a conversation this week with a friend. And a month or two ago, I was really ticked off at her. And I told her. And It was a moment for us, and we kind of talked it through, and then we got together again this week and, you know, made sure we were good. And we are good, and that, you know, that's important to me because she's a valuable friend. And I just think that there are so many people walking around with unspoken anger, which in most cases is totally, it's not bad to be mad at somebody. It's not bad if somebody does something that makes you mad to say, I'm angry. Because if you don't, the next time something comes up, you're going to be angrier than you should be. And then the next time it comes up, at some point, you're going to explode.
Well, yeah. It's interesting you're talking about what you can say and not say. Because I have a friend out west. And she's a pretty good friend. And there's something she does where she clears her throat and drops her mouth. It's almost a twitch. And it's she does it pretty frequently, like, say, every minute and a half. Okay.
But she doesn't do it to you, right? It's a personal thing.
But she didn't have this before. It doesn't seem to be a health thing. It seems to be like some sort of, you know, acquired, you know, mannerism, let's say. And I wanted to tell her the last time I was out there, I wanted to say, honey, do you know that you do this thing and it sort of distorts your face and this sound is coming out and it's a little distancing and disturbing, and, you know, if you thought about it, do you think you could stop? But could you stop it? But I think it'll just devastate her.
Does that feel different than something that she might do? I mean, that doesn't anger you. It concerns you. And it annoys you. It's annoying.
It's off-putting because it's like she's suffered a stroke or something, which, of course, is my, you know, largest held fear.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if it's my mishigas or you just let your... It's a lazy thing. Like, there's some people who cover their mouth when they laugh.
Right.
And
I think...
Nervous habits.
As we age, as we age, people develop. And for me...
Would you say something?
No, I wouldn't.
I mean, it's like, what's the goal?
Right, yeah, what is the goal? You're annoyed by it.
No, I'm not annoyed. I'm uncomfortable and...
Well, that seems...
She looks more like a crazy person.
Okay.
Not that there's anything wrong with being crazy.
We're so worried now. Yeah, I don't know. If it were a mannerism that didn't have anything to do with me, I'm not sure I would say anything. If she were doing something that you felt had, I think that's one that doesn't have anything to do with you. If she did something that made you mad, I could see you're saying, you know, you did this thing the other day and I can't get over it and I just need to say that ticked me off.
I have said to her, I find it really frustrating when you constantly are rearranging our plans.
Okay. Well, that, I mean, and that's fair and honest and healthy.
And
I
it was
think.
An I statement.
Excellent.
I learned that after like $12 trillion in therapy.
Right. Now, this is Karen. Hey, Karen.
Hi. You know, I was going to say that I really love my family and friends because we don't hold these things in. You know, if something ticks us off, I feel very free, and they feel very free to just say back to me, no, that's not okay. You know,
right?
Or
what's
or
up
whatever.
With that? Why? Yeah. Why would you do that? Or why would you rearrange my furniture? Or
exactly,
I don't
we
like
just say it right out.
Don't come into
then...
my house. I mean, I've told people I love. Don't come and look at my expiration dates on my food.
Oh, no. You mean taking the cans out of the...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've told people that. Don't do that.
Right. And I also tell, you know, people that I work with, I say, listen, if there's something that I'm doing that's, you know, bothering you or you don't like the way I'm doing it or whatever...
Say it.
I'm an assistant teacher. And, you know, I just tell them, I say, if there's a problem and, you know, you don't like the way I'm doing it or you prefer it done this way, just let me know. You
right.
know, just feel free, tell me. I don't take hints very well. Just tell me right out.
Right.
I will have no bad feelings, you know, and I just like to work that way.
Yep, me too. Unexpressed anger is always rage. It
absolutely.
Always comes out as so inappropriately rage-filled angry. And it's not...
I don't think it does. I think it can come out as just a low, grumbly resentment that gnaws at you and gnaws at you, and it doesn't always explode out.
Okay. I think it depends on, you know, on what the situation is.
Like
and the person, you know, I mean, Kathy, I can see your point, you know, where, yeah, you know, I might explode, but I don't know. Judy, maybe you're the person that just kind of holds it in. And
oh, no, I go...
Yeah, and I mean, that's one of the things about Judy and me, that we will say it. There's
right.
not unexpressed anger between the two of us. And I mean, we've been friends and professional partners for 20, 25 years. So I don't think that would last as long as it has in a healthy way if we didn't feel free to do that. So,
absolutely.
I've been meaning
exactly.
to tell you something.
Okay, Karen, Judy's going to tell me something.
No, I'm kidding.
Right after this. Kathy and Judy, I can't even remember how we got started on this conversation, but it was about telling somebody that you're ticked off at them and just not being, doesn't have to be furious and angry. It can just say, I was bothered by that, and can we talk about it? And this is another Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I am so happy to hear you. I started listening to you when I stayed home from work after I had my baby. And he is now 28 years old.
Oh, thank God you didn't say 47.
And I got his PhD in May. I used to send you those Christmas cards all the time with my son, Eric, Kathy, and Bill. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know if you remember that at all. But anyway.
We remember
so
nothing.
I miss you. I miss you, and it's so good to hear
thank you.
Thank
so
you.
So tell us about your relationship with a friend.
Yeah, well, we walked every night after dinner, especially when our kids were little, just to get out of the house. And
We walked for many years, and all of a sudden one day, it was what made me think about it especially today was it was a snowy day, and we used to walk in any kind of weather, and we especially in the snow. And we used to actually have fun doing it because we would jump through the snow almost, you know, just for the fun of it. And one day she said, "I can't stand the way you walk.
I get wow.
You splash me." And I have big feet. I'm a size 10, and she was like a 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, when you have bigger feet, it's a little harder. And I don't know, it was very hurtful. And to this day, we walked after that. I never said anything. But it obviously is still bothering me.
But if she had said,
talking about it.
Kath, if she had said, "I don't know if you know it, but sometimes you splash a lot, and my feet are getting all wet."
Yeah.
Because it sounds like she hadn't been saying anything.
Yeah.
And that when it finally was said, it was, "I hate the way you
I can't
so
stand."
And yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right. So maybe that's your point.
I think it is. You've got to say it. And,
but
especially with people you love.
There have been other things over the years that have come out in bad ways, too. So in a way, I just don't think she likes me that much.
Well, is she a friend? Is she still a friend? Or is it just one you can't divorce?
Yeah, I kind of can't. But, I mean, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard. It's one of those things that has changed over the years.
And, you know, we've talked about that over the years, about hills and valleys, about every relationship. And sometimes you have to reexamine friendships and say, this worked great. 20 years ago, and now it's not working that great. And I think when that happens, you do kind of just slip away.
But I think on the receiving end, it's still hurtful because you don't get into a discussion of, well, what's the matter?
What happened?
You know,
but anyway, all this stuff between going back to the past with you guys and the snow.
So now the kid.
I am in the kitchen baking again.
The 27-year-old with the PhD.
Yes.
When is he done with it or is he still working?
He got it.
He got it. And what's his job? Is he a barista?
He's a professor at Northwestern State University in Louisiana.
Oh,
well there you go.
Good. There you go. So
I was so happy he got a job.
So he can pay for your condo when you and Mr. Kathy retire.
Yeah. Well, he got an assistantship for the PhD too, so he didn't have any loans from that. So.
Excellent.
Kathy, thank you so much for the call.
We're glad you're back with us. Yeah. Thanks a lot. We're Kathy and Judy, and our number is 312-981-7200. And just wrapping up our conversation about expressing anger and not keeping it inside, this is from our 24/7/20 text messaging option. My youngest sister's been doing this kind of crap to me for years. The last time it was it for me. I told her no more. Things seem to be changing. So glad we can help everybody's lives like that.